From Parshas Chayisora, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, usually I like to discuss something that's very, very related to the Parsha. In this case, I think the Parsha is sort of like a, I guess you'd call it just a kickoff. We really want to talk about a minig b'Yisrael, and this minig has lost a little bit of punch over the course of time. And it's always nice to learn a minig and see if you can... can you give it a little bit more meaning and so forth? You know, give it more significance. Uh-huh. And especially a minig that has something to do with marriage and weddings and blessing the kala. Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of blessing do we want to bestow on the kala, mm-hmm. on this great night of hers? And that's something that I think deserves our attention, especially when this blessing comes from a very unusual source, and not what you would call a pure Torah, Torah personality. The original blessing came from none other than Lavan or Rasha. So wow. It's very strange that we would take a blessing from Lavan and make such a big deal about it. But let's see if we can, with the help of the Shvile Pinchas, maybe we can give it a little bit more of a significance. So you know that Chayisara is the parsha of Shiduchim because of the shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka. You know, Eliezer is the Eved Avram, the trusty and loyal servant of Avram Avinu. So let's just read a few of the psukim that describe this bracha when finally Rivka's hand is given in marriage to Yitzchak. Eliezer is going to be, he's going to be the agent, he's going to be the shliach. It says, Vayivarchu es Rivka vayomu la. And this is the blessing that Lavan and other members of his family bestow upon Rivka. Achosenu ateyi li alfe revava. Now let's just take apart this Alfe Revava, because that's going to be very important for us tonight. Alfe, of course, refers to thousands, and Revava, or Revavot, refers to tens of thousands. And we also have a rule of thumb that Ein Miut El Shtayim, which means that whenever the Torah uses a plural, Ein Miut Rabim El Shtayim, then the plural refers to two. Because if the Torah wanted to give it more than two, the Torah would have had to specify it. So Alfe would mean 2,000. And Rivava, if the Alfe also doubles the Rivava, we're going to have to see about that, that would jack up 10,000 to 20,000. Then you add the 2,000, and you end up with 22,000. That number, 22,000, is going to be the star of the show tonight, as we'll soon see. So our sister should be Li Alfe Revava, like she should be the mother of a massive amount of descendants. V'yirash Zaracha Shar Sonov, and her descendants will be able to take over and defeat their enemies. Rashi, in his commentary on the Torah, Rashi elaborates on this, and he says, At Vizarech, you and your descendants, Tekablu osa bracha. So in other words, Rashi's pointing out that there was a bracha that was given back at the time of the Akedah, and that was bestowed upon Avram. That took place on Har Moriah. And that bracha is now being, in a sense, repeated at the point of Rivka, because now Rivka is about to enter into the family of Avram, meaning by marrying Yitzchak, is Tekablu Osa Bracha Shenemar Li Avram Bahar Moria. God bestowed a great blessing upon Avram, and he said, Arba Arbe Zarecha. And now Rashi is saying that the essence of the bracha that's being bestowed upon Rivka is that bracha will now be fulfilled through you and your descendants. They will receive this bracha. Yiratzon, may it be his will, Shehe Oso Hazera Mimech, Blomi Shacheres. So you will be the mother of those descendants, of those children. That's what we have here in Rashi. Now, we have a principle called Minag Yisrael Torahu. In other words, we place a great deal of emphasis on a custom. In fact, if I get a chance tomorrow, you know, I have to give a shiur at the OU Center tomorrow. So I'm going to talk about the significance of a custom, because it was a custom apparently back in the day that you would celebrate Shabbos, you would commemorate Shabbos on that very day that the people, the Goyim, would call Saturday. But in truth, Al Pi Halacha, in certain parts of the world, Saturday is not Shabbos, believe it or not. It's Sunday that's Shabbos. But Minhag Yisrael Torah, and you'll see how the poskim deal with this, because they didn't want to change the minhag. But again, we're talking about Shabbos, so you can't just blame everything on a minhag. But in any event, we have this principle called Minhag Yisrael Torah. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik used to always make a big deal about minhagim. He didn't like changing minhagim. He wasn't into that. On the contrary, he wanted to show. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to try to show that minhagim are very deeply rooted in our Torah. And here's a very interesting minhag. I've seen it. I wouldn't say it's common. I'd like it to be more common. And that is that before the bride is taken to the chuppah, and the chassan goes to badekin, which means to cover her veil, at that point, the reason why he wants to first uncover a veil and make sure it's her is because the Gemara says you can't marry a woman without seeing her. Make sure that you're getting the right woman. But after he takes a look at her and he makes sure he examines that he's getting the right girl, then he covers her face with a kerchief, a veil. And at that point, and again, it's not clear who actually gives her the bracha. Some say it's the two fathers, some say it's the two mothers, some say it's both the fathers and the mothers. Others say that everyone that's present at that time should jive in, and they should all in unison make the bracha, Achosenu Atei Lialfe Revava. Now, if this minog is a minog, so we want to understand it, but it's more than just that. What we'll find is that in the literature, a person who gives this bracha should realize that there's a lot more to this bracha. He doesn't have to know all the sodos, all the secrets, all the mystery and the mystical meaning of the bracha. Let him just recite the bracha. But what we should know is that he doesn't even begin to touch the surface of what that bracha is all about. He should realize that. Because this bracha really conceals very deep and profound sodos, as we say, secrets.
Where is the source of this bracha?
The source of this bracha itself, or the minhag to give the bracha? Yeah. The source is here in Parshas Chayisara, yeah, that we're going to read this Shabbos. And the minhag itself has developed over the course of time. And the one who really took the bull by the horn to try to explain the deeper meaning of this minhag is the Meir Leinayim. Okay, he lived about 150 years ago. And again, he was standing on the shoulders of those who came before him. And he tells us the following. Okay, he explains what this sod is all about. Now, again, we don't have the ability, I'm using the royal we, I mean on myself, right? We don't have the ability to explain the sod, to understand the sod. I'm not claiming I do that. But what the Shvilei Pinchas does for us here in this essay is he gives us that, shall I say, the surface level of understanding the sod based on our ability to do so. To try to understand why this brach is recited at the moment of the Badekin, because when Eliezer brings Rivka back to Yitzchak, so the Pasuk says, out of Tznius, it says, Vatikach hatzeif vatitkas. she takes the veil and she covers herself. And that pasuk, although it refers specifically to Rivka, but nevertheless it really refers to any kala, that after the tzeif, meaning the veil, is covered over her, she sort of like gets a little bit of that kedusha, that sanctity of Rivka Imenu. And at that point, once every kala sort of steps into the shoes of Rivka, now it's meaningful to bestow upon the kala the same bracha that was bestowed upon Rivka. Again, the pella here that's absolutely amazing is that this bracha was formulated and recited by none other than Lavan Arami. I mean, Lavan Arami was a Rasha Gomer. I mean, we say about Lavan, he was worse than Paro. He wanted to completely destroy the Jewish nation. And we often wonder, you know, if the Kala is about to enter into the Chuppah, we couldn't find any other bracha from any other source other than Lavan Arami. Like, very, very strange.
There's some good in the worst of us, and some bad in the best of us, that it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. So there is an element of good kite in a person.
Right. So what we're going to study tonight, Ras, is the Chassam Sofer. You know, I'm a big fan of the Chassam Sofer. And as I get older, I appreciate him more and more. I never heard his name mentioned in the 5 years I spent at Rav Salvation Shir. Once he mentioned him in passing in a tshuva drasha, you know, but not in the regular shiurim. And the Chassam Sofer, in his commentary on the Torah, which is known as Torah Smosha, he wants to understand the Medrash. The Medrash says the following: "Mipnei malo nifkida Rivka ad shenispalo aleha Yitzchak." Chazal understood that although both Yitzchak and Rivka were suffering without children, and each one prayed, but nevertheless, the clincher was the prayer of Yitzchak. And the Medrash asks why. Why not the prayer of Rivka? After usually, when a woman prays, it has a tremendous impact. We see the prayer of Chana, which is paradigmic of the Jewish mother praying. And the answer is Shalo Yu Ovde Kochom Omer Tfila Seinu Asasa Peros Elevayater Yitzchak Lashem Lenochach Ishto. It could have been possible that the peoples of the world would have attributed Rivka's ability to have a child to the prayers of Lavan Arami, right? Lavan said that you'll be the mother of thousands and tens of thousands of descendants. And maybe if Rivka finally merited having a child, people are going to say, you know what? Whose bracha really kicked in over here? It was the bracha of the idol worshippers, of Lavan Arami and his family. That's what brought about the divine, again, you know, it's hard to say divine in the case of idol worshipping, but the idols and all these gods somehow intervened and they changed nature. That's how Chas Shalom, that's how this miracle came about. So therefore Hashem went out of his way to point out that God listened to the prayers of Yitzchak. That's called Vayetar Yitzchak Hashem Lenochach Ishto. So the Chassam Sofer wants to embellish this Medrash. And he points out the following: that Yitzchak and Rivka finally were no longer childless. What did they have? Did they have one child or two children? Right? They had how many? They had two children. They were twins. They were born to Rivka and Yitzchak one after the other. The first one to be born was Esav, excellent. And the second one was Yaakov. And the Chassam Sofer has a brilliant insight here, which you can wonder where he got this from. It's so original. He says that, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the phrase "choose your grandfather." Well, in the case of Yaakov and Esav, you know, they each had to choose their grandfather, so to speak. Well, they had two different grandfathers. You know, on Yitzchak's side, they had Avram. You know, on Rivka's side, they had Lavan Harami. And it turns out that these two children, these two twins that were born, each one had a different so to speak, a different lineage, although they biologically they had the identical lineage. But Yaakov becomes what we call Tzadik ben Tzadik. He really belongs to Yitzhak, his father. Rivka, on the other hand, is a Tzadikis Bas Rosha, and Esav comes from the Rivka side of the equation. So that what Esav ends up with is something of his grandfather Lavan. Now, you might ask, well, what's going on over here? I mean, we have this fellow Lavan, right? But in truth, when you marry a woman, you have to check out her lineage, because very often the child that's born is very similar to that lineage. So I mentioned that Lavan was grandfather. I made a mistake. That's Besuel, right? Lavan is the uncle, actually.
Right.
Yeah, my mistake. Sorry. Now, why do you check out an uncle when you marry a girl? Because Chazal say that the child is Doma Lachi Ha'em. And in this case, the child is Esav, and he's similar to Achi Ha'em, which means to Lavan. So Lavan Harami, with his great rishus, because he was so evil, you know what intention he had when he bestowed this bracha on Rivka? Achoseinu Ateile Alfe Revava. He said, Achoseinu, you know what? You are our sister. And we bless you that on that side, you know, based on our side, the brother of the mother, you should have Alfe Revava that will be similar to your uncle, to the Ach Ha'em, who are all, they're all, the whole side there is just rotten to the core. However, when we bless the Kala, and we say the same words, Achoseinu Atei Li'alfe Revava, we're talking about you as our sister, meaning the Kala is our sister, not the sister of Lavan, and we want that the children that you will give birth to should be similar to Yaakov, who's an Ish Tzaddik. And therefore the Ksav Sofer writes, Nir Lefaresh, Masha Omru Achoseinu, Kihine Yaakov V'Esav Hayushnei Afachim, Yaakov and Esav are two opposites. Behu Yan Rivka, Hoysa Tzaddikes Bas Rosha, he has a slightly different version. He says that on the Rivka side, we have both the tzaddik is Rivka, and we have the Rasha, that's her brother Lavan. So when Lavan had in mind, when he said Achoseinu, his blessing was the Chelek Achva, the brother side, which would be, in a sense, that Esav should be similar to Lavan, he should be a Rasha. On the other hand, Yaakov would be born to the Rivka side, which is the Tzadekis side, and he will be a Tzadik. And it's very important now that Yitzchak is the one whose prayers were accepted, because, you know, if it would be Rivka's tefillah, as we said before, people might say that it was the Oved Avodah Zarah. That's Lavan and his people, they blessed her, and that's why she was blessed with children. Okay. Now, the Chasam Sofer, in one of his, you know, many of the children of the Chasam Sofer and the descendants also wrote magnificent works of Torah. We're going to look at one paragraph from one of those works called the Chasan Sofer. And he adds another element to the equation. He adds a Gemara Yevamos, very important Gemara, for our purposes tonight. We're going to see this combination of Revava and Alafim, not only with regard to the blessing that Rivka receives when she's given over for marriage to Yitzchak, but also in a Pasuk in Parshas Baal Loscha. Ubenucha Yomar, Shuva Hashem, Rivavos Alfei Yisrael. Notice the, again, the double language here. There's the Rivavos and the Alpha Yisrael. And Chazal say, based on this pasuk, Melaneh she'ein hashkina shora al pachos mishnei alofim u'shnei rivavos miYisrael. The minimum amount of a gathering of Jewish people for the Shekhinah to come down is 22,000. Which means the following. Hayu Yisrael, Shnei Alofim u'Shnei Rivavos Chaser Echad. Let's say that Klal Yisrael at that point was made up of 21,999. And one of those people did not get married. Lo nimtza zegorim l'shchina shetistalik miYisrael. The Gemara wants to suggest how important it is to get married, and therefore, if somebody decides he doesn't want to get married, he thinks he's making his own personal decision, but he might be rooting it for all of Klal Yisrael, because it just might be that he's number 22,000. That's what the Gemara says in Masechta Yevamos. That's a famous sugya, Pirya V'Rivya. So now it comes out that Pirya V'Rivya has a new agenda, so to speak, a new goal. The goal is to arrive at the number 22,000, because that's going to be the number that's necessary, the prerequisite number for Hashra'a Shechina V'Yisrael. Now, says the Chasam Sofer, the reason why we bless the Kala at a Chubach, Hosenu Ateyi Li'Alfei Revava, is because he's understanding that the phrase Alfei Revava means Alfim and Revavos. Again, you don't know if the Alfei makes the word Revava plural or not, but apparently the Chasam Sofer understood that the Alfei Revava means thousands and ten thousands. And thousands and ten thousands equal 22,000. So the blessing that's being bestowed upon the Kala is that she should merit having descendants that will equal to the number 22,000, so that her descendants will merit having Ashra Shekhinah, that the Shekhinah will come down and reside upon them. And we find a very similar commentary in a book called the Keren LeDavid. And he writes, the Gemara in Sotas tells us, Darash Rabbi Akiva, Ish v'Isha Zachu, if a man marries a wife, and they merit having the Shekhinah, Zachu Shekhinah Beinehem, but lo Zachu Eish Ochlosa. So in other words, the purpose of marriage is to bring about Hashras HaShekhinah. That's an amazing Jewish perspective on marriage. And he says the following, that basically if you bless the Chosen Kala, that they should merit Hashras HaShekhinah, that you're giving them the greatest blessing of them all. Why? Because the Pasuk says, in Parshas Yisro, it says, B'chol Mokom Asher Azkir Shmi, whenever my presence is there, Avo Eilecha U'Berachticha. In other words, God's presence is the key to all the brachos. You know, to all the brachos. If there's one bracha that contains all the brachos within it, in sort of an inherent form.
The catalyst, can we say?
What would you call it?
The catalyst.
Maybe a catalyst, but it's an all-inclusive bracha. And that's the bracha of Hashras HaShekhinah. Because God says, whenever there'll be Hashras HaShekhinah, I will come and bless you. Rashi goes as far as to say in the Gemara and Sota that God is giving us a license to mention His holy name in terms of bringing the Shekhinah down. And Shem, once you bless a person with God's name, and God will come down and He will preside there, His Shekhinah will reside there, then Shom Ovo Elech Rachticha, I will be Mashu, my Shekhinah, and then Memeli, you get all the brachas. It's like You know, if they gave you three choices for what you'd want, all you need is really one choice, to ask for Hashras Hashkina, because if that wish is granted, then you have all the other blessings. Because Kol Mokom Asher Asker Shmi, Avoy Lecha Berachticha. So when we try to bless the Kala, and we want to give her an all-inclusive bracha, then of course the bracha we're going to give her is Hashras Hashkina. And Shechina depends upon the number 22,000, and therefore we're going to bless her Achoseinu Atei Li Alfei Revava, because Alfei Revava is a reference to the number 22,000. And that's going to bring about the Shechina. Once the Shechina is there, Kol Makom, etc., Ovei Lecho Berachticha, I'll bless you with all the blessings. And that's what we want to bestow upon the Kala, all the blessings, by telling her At Hei Li Alfei Revava. Alfei Revava is a secret password, and it means the 22,000 of Hashras Hashkina. Once the Shekhinah, then all the brachas are there. And we find that Yaakov Avinu, when he blesses Ephraim ben Asher, again we find this number 22,000. Why? Because at the end of Sefer Bereishis, it says Becha Yivarach Yisrael Lemar, that with you, you know, the bracha I'm giving to you, Ephraim ben Asher, every Jew will bestow that bracha upon his children. Yisimcha Elokim Kefrayim uKeMenashe. What's the significance of Kefrayim uKeMenashe? So for this, we have to fast forward from the end of Sefer Bereishis to the end of Sefer Dvarim for the bracha of Vizos HaBrach, which Moshe Rabbeinu bestows upon all the Shvatim. And when he gets to Yosef, he says, "Bechar Sharo Hadolo, the Karneira Aim Karno, Vahem Yinagach Yachdov Afse Oretz, Vahem Rivavos Ephraim, Vahem Alfei Menashe." Again, the double language of Rivavos and Alofim. So when you take Ephraim and Menashe together, you end up with Rivavos and Alofim. And the one who makes a big deal about this bracha Moshe Rabbeinu is the Ramban. The Ramban in his super commentary on the Torah writes, Revavos Ephraim V'Alfei Menashe, Heim Kineyed Tfilas Moshe, Shuva Hashem Rivos Alfei Yisrael. Right, in the same parasha of Nucha Yomar, which we said is in parashas Baloscha, Hashem says, Shuva Rivos Alfei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu says it. And what does it mean? Shuva Hashem Rivavos Alfei Yisrael. Again, the Rivavos means 20,000, and Alfei Yisrael means 2,000. All total, 22,000. Says the Ramban, with the 22,000 of Rivavos Alfei Yisrael, the Shechina Shor Aleihem. And then, when we say the bracha Yisimcha Elokim Kefrayim Menashe, what we have in mind is the Rivos Ephraim V'Alfei Menashe, the 22,000 that brings the Shechina, and that's a schus for all the brachos, because all the brachos depend upon and are generated by Hashras Hashechina. So let's just summarize what we've said until this point. Take a little pause. We were wondering about the bracha of Lavan, and why we should adopt that bracha when we bestow it upon every kala. And the answer is that this bracha contains within it a very special element here. And that is the element of Hashras Hashchina. Of course, Laman had something else in mind entirely. And what he had in mind was Rivavos Esav, if you know our Rosh. But what we do is we change the intention of the bracha, and we say Achoseinu, referring to Rivka Tzadekes and Yitzchak Tzadik, that we want to bestow upon you the bracha that you should be the catalyst for Hashras Hashchina, and that's the meaning and the significance of Atayi Li Alfei Revava. And this concept of 22,000 repeats itself over and over again. And first and foremost, it repeats itself in the Pasuk, Uvenucha Yomar Shuva Hashem Rivos Alfei Yisrael. And the Rivos Alfei Yisrael Zein Hashchina Shora Pachos Mishnei Alofim Mishnei Rivos Yisrael, the 22,000. And this is the bracha that we repeat over and over again, mentioning the Ephraim Menashe bracha of the 22,000. And the Ramban points out that the reason why we want to bless our children with this bracha is because we want them to be the generators of Shekhinah. And then the punchline is that the Shekhinah, once it resides, brings about all the brachas. Everything is contained in that one single bracha of Ashras HaShekhinah, based on the pasuk v'chol makom asher askir shmi avoy lecha berachticha. That's where we're holding right now. But at this point, we're going to introduce a gaon, the Vilna Gaon. You see, by the way, that even Chassidish Sfarim will quote the Vilna Gaon. That's where we're up to today, Baruch Hashem. So we can get the best of both worlds, the Hasidic world and the Lithuanian world of Vilna. And the Gaon says the following. At the end of Vizos HaBracha, when Moshe Rabbeinu bestows the bracha on Yosef, and specifically on Yosef's children, Ephraim and Asher, and he says, Bohem yinagach yachdov avsei oretz v'heim revos Ephraim v'heim alfei Menashe. And he says the following. Yaakov Avinu, when he gave the bracha to Ephraim and Asher, what did he do with his hands, everybody? He crossed his hands. And he wanted his right hand on the head of Ephraim, his left hand on the head of Menashe.
Why was that?
And why was that? Because the pasuk says, "Yipol mitzivka elef urivava miminecha," which means that the Jewish people are blessed with right and left. And for example, in a military campaign, if you fight with both hands, you fight with the right hand and with the left hand. The pasuk says that with your right hand, you will bring down rivava, you will bring down tens of thousands of your enemies. With your left hand, you will bring thousands of your enemies. So which hand is obviously more powerful? The right hand, because the right hand is going to defeat tens of thousands of enemies. And the pasuk tells us that who got the right hand bracha? It was Ephraim. Ephraim would represent the leadership in the military frontier that will defeat our enemies. That's called Revava Biminecha. It was very critical that Yaakov therefore would place his right hand over the head of Ephraim, because Ephraim is going to represent the right hand, the strong arm. He's going to defeat Revavos. And with regard to the left hand, which is Menashe, that's Yipol Mitzivka Elef. So let's try to see if we can get a little bit more understanding of what's going on here with Yipol Mitzivka Elef, and that's on the left hand, Revava Biminecha, on the right hand, it's tens of thousands. What is going on over here?
Yes. This is a very interesting episode here.
Alright, so we're going to try to see, if you give me 5 more minutes, because my head is still not, I just got off a plane a few hours ago. So let's just see what we can figure out. Again, the number 22,000, we said, is very critical because it represents the Ashras HaShekhinah, that the Shekhinah comes down. Now we're seeing the number 22,000 again appear with regard to the bracha of Ephraim u'Menashe. Now, when we talk about the enemies of the Jewish people, and we say that the right hand is going to defeat 2 times 10,000, which is 20,000, the left hand is going to defeat 2 times 1,000, which is 2,000, who are these enemies? So obviously, on a simple level, you know, what we call Ein Mikra Yotze V'Dei Pshuta, on a simple level, the enemies of the Jewish people are those who are engaged in a military campaign to defeat us and to destroy us. That's certainly true. But on a deeper level, below the surface, there are other types of forces that are adversaries that try to defeat us. Those are the forces of evil, of the Yetzer Hara, of what we call the Sitra Achra, the Klipos. Those are those forces that surround us on all sides, constantly trying to trap us in their net. And now we have 20,000 and we have 2,000. What does that mean? So he says that there are klipos, these powers of evil that surround us on the right side, and those that surround us on the left side. In order to destroy them, we have to use both our right side and our left side. And we have to gather together the forces of Shekhinah that's within us. You know, every Jew is like a part of a whole. And that whole is made up of 22,000 that bring about the Shekhinah. So if we can view ourselves as part of this entity called 22,000, then that number of 22,000 is the good side of the Shekhinah, which is the Shekhinah, that's going to defeat the bad side, which is also 22,000, right? 20,000 that are attacking us on the right and 2,000 on the left. And when we harness that energy force within us of the 22,000, and that's what Ephraim and Asher will receive. I don't know if you were here, we discussed that the blessing of Moshe Rabbeinu on the two tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh equals the number 22,000. Okay, so you'll have to accept that on blind faith.
Okay, it's becoming clearer why you're saying that.
Right, and what is this power that's being bestowed by Moshe Rabbeinu on Ephraim and Manasseh? It's the power to defeat the forces against us on the right side and the forces against us on the left side.
But where do you think Ephraim and Manasseh are now?
Where are they now?
Yeah.
Well, right now I think they're up in the world of the Neshamas because they died already.
The man. The tribe.
Oh, the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh? I don't know that we know where they are. I mean, hopefully we're going to get to...
defeating all these people. At what period in time?
Right. Right, that's an excellent question. We'll see at what moment, we have to see at what moments in time in Jewish history were the blessings of Moshe Rabbeinu realized. You know, when did they become a reality? Okay, so we're going to leave your question on the back burners. Hopefully, as we get smarter, we'll be able to address that question. Now again, how is it that our 22,000, which we said was bestowed upon Rivka and bestowed upon Ephraim Menashe, how does our 22,000 defeat these forces of the klipos that surround us and try to trip us up? The answer is because 22,000 is the key for Hashras Hashchina, which means that God bestows His presence upon us when we reach that level of 22,000. So 22,000 is both a physical reality and it's also
figurative.
Right. It's a conceptual idea, or shall we call it a concept. It's abstract. It represents the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah, meaning God's divine presence, is dependent for some reason on this number 22,000. That's when His presence manifests itself. So now we go back to the beginning of Moshe's Bracha. Moshe's Bracha to Ephraim and Manasseh opens up with the words, Bahem yinagach yachdov afsei aretz, which means that with their power of the right and the left, Moshe Rabbeinu says, together they will be able to defeat the Afsei Aretz. The Afsei Aretz represents those low beings, you know, that kind of want to ambush us and trip us up. And the power that we have through Ephraim and Manasseh, which is the 22,000, and the Shekhinah that's Shora because the 22,000, that's the koach to destroy the 22,000 klipos, which is elef mi smol urevava mi yamin. Ah, I see. He points out that when it says yipol mitzidka elef urevava mi minecha, so that that pasuk, which is a pasuk in Tehillim, speaks about 1,000 and 10,000. So there's 1,000 on the left side and 10,000 on the right side. We have double that amount because we have 2,000 and we have 20,000. So that's a ratio of 1 to 2. Now, whenever we have a ratio of 1 to 2, we apply a principle that the 1 is lost to the 2. Sort of it loses its identity. Have you ever heard of that? That's called bitul.
That's called what?
Bitul. Bitul means when you have a mixture and it's 2 against 1, then the 1 is completely nullified. So we can, with our 22,000, which represents the Shekhinah, we're able to nullify this 1,000 and 10,000, which is all told 11,000. Okay. Now, let's go back to what we call Zivug. Zivug means, you know, in our case, we're talking about Yitzchak and Rivka. We're talking about a marriage in which we bring together Yitzchak and Rivka. Now, is it easy to bring together a man and a woman from a Jewish perspective? Is that an easy task?
No.
No.
Let's split the Red Sea.
Excellent. Kasha lezivugam kekriyas yamsu. That's Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Sota. It's like splitting the sea. And the Zohar says, what's the equation to splitting the sea? At the point of splitting the sea, the prosecutor, which is called the Satan, came down and with his whole entourage, and he said, what's the difference between these and these? Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, the Mitzrayim are idol worshippers, and the Jewish people, unfortunately, were also worshipping idols. And he says that whenever a man and a woman want to get together, and it looks like there's some potential for marriage, what happens is that the Makatreg, this evil demon, so to speak, who represents those klipos that we spoke about before, he tries to prevent this marriage from coming to reality.
You're no kidding.
That's nasty.
And that's why it's equated with Kriyas Yamsuf. You know, halolu v'halolu. You know, it's these and these. He and she don't belong together. So he's gonna form a sort of a barrier that makes it difficult. So the blessing that we can finally bless upon the Kala, if we can defeat these klipos, you know, these forces of evil, is achosenu atayi li alfei revava, that you should be a vehicle. You know, I called it before a facilitator. I didn't have a better word. Yeah, to bring about this number 22,000, right? Alfei Revava, which we said in the name of the Chassam Sofer is 22,000. What happens if she becomes that generator of 22,000? That brings down the Shekhinah. And with the sanctity of the Shekhinah, we have the 22,000, which is able to be Mevatel Chad Betrei. You know, it's in a ratio of 2 to 1. The LF, the 1,000 on the right side, and the 10,000 on the right side and 1,000 on the left side, totally 11,000. So the 22,000 will defeat the 11,000, and then once we bless the Kala with that great blessing, that she will be the generator of 22,000, and that will bring the Shekhinah, and that will defeat all the klipos and all the forces of evil. Then we're ready to bring the Kala into the chuppah, and all the makatrigim, you know, all these different forces of evil are trying to prevent this marriage from reaching its fruition.
What do you call them?
Makatrigim. Makatrigim are prosecutors. You know, in mystical thought, up in the heavens, there are angels that are there to prosecute, like a satan. They come to say, well, you know, these people don't deserve it, God, and therefore don't bestow any a chesed upon them. Fine. Mm-hmm. Now, again, when we come back to the question of Lavan, you know, that Lavan is the Rasha, and he's the one who's blessing and formulating this Achoseinu Atei Lialfei Revav, we find it very paradoxical that Lavan, who's an idol worshiper, and he's such an evil being, he tries to destroy the Jewish nation, it's his bracha that's going to be used against the Mekatrigim, against these forces of evil. So in order to answer that question, we're going to fast forward a little bit to another pasuk in the same chapter, in the same section. You know, Parshas Chayisara, although it highlights the marriage relationship between Rivka and Yitzchak, it also has a section which describes the end of Avram's life. And in that section it says, Avram Zaken Baba Yamim, Avram is now very old, Vashem Beraches Avram Bakol, and God gave everything, every bracha imaginable to Avram Avinu. Now, if you take a look at the sequence, where does this verse appear? It's actually right before Yitzchak is introduced to his wife to be Rivka, meaning right before Eliezer is sent out on his mission to find a marriage partner for Yitzchak. And you can imagine that this moment of time in which Eliezer is being sent as the agent and we're looking for a wife for Yitzchak, it's a very precarious moment, if you follow me, because again, whenever you're trying to bring a man and a woman together in a marriage relationship, it's like Kriyas Yamsuf, which the Mekatrigim, the prosecutors, would say, why are you differentiating between them and them, if you know what I mean? So too, at that point in which we're about to embark upon a search for a marriage partner, you know, we have to be very careful here. It's a precarious situation.
Well, that seemed to go very smoothly.
Oh, so why did it go so smoothly? The answer is because Avram, Hashem Bireches Avram Bakol. The immediate verse before this Shlichus, before the mission of Eliezer, is that God bestows an all-inclusive blessing on Avram Avinu. And he says that this blessing has to do with finding a wife for the next generation, meaning for his grandson in this case, right?
Sure, if he's going to have generations, then he's...
I made a mistake. Not for his grandson.
For his son.
For his son. Right? Now, Yitzchak is part of this bracha that's being bestowed on Avram. How do I know this? Because Yitzchak is the son of Avram, and in Hebrew, the word son is called a ben. Ben always represents the number 52. Don't forget that number 52 for a moment. Right? Bet and Nun together is 52. Now, if you take a look at Bakol, God blesses Avram Bakol. So the Chaf and the Lamed are 50, and the Bet is 2, and you end up with the same identical number of 52. Now, what good is it that Avram has a son Yitzchak, if God is saying to Avram that he's going to be the father of a nation? So it must be that Yitzchak is going to find a marriage partner. Otherwise, the whole thing goes down the tubes.
You knew it was coming.
So that's what God's blessing to Avram Avinu, that he, Avram, will be the father of generations, is what's going to defeat all these Mekatrigim, all these prosecutors that try to upset the apple cart to make it impossible for Yitzchak to get married. And if that be the case, then let's take a look at the words of Lavan and Besuel in our parsha. Vayan Lavan and Besuel veYomru meHashem yotza davar lo nuchal daber elecha ra otov hinei Rivka lefanecha kach velech vatehi Isha leven Adonecha kasher divar Hashem. So basically, Lavan and Besuel, it's interesting that Lavan's name comes first, but that's a different discussion. They say that, you know, this is from heaven. We're not going to speak good or evil. Take Rivka, and if she wants to get married, let her go and get married. Vayomer Achia Ve'ima. But later on, the storyline changes a little bit. You know, after all those fancy words, take her and go, all of a sudden, Teshev Hanara Itanu. You know, let her stick around a little bit longer. And then afterwards she'll go. And Eliezer fights with them. And he says, no, Al Ta'achrosi, don't delay me. Hashem Etzliach Rachai, God gave us this blessing. Shalchuni the El Chaladoni, send me and let me go. So there's sort of like a debate here between Lavan and Besuel on the one hand, Eliezer on the other. Lavan and Besuel saying, Teshev Hanara, let us stick around.
Lavan got his thing in later.
Yeah, and Yitzhak and Eliezer, the Eved Avraham, is saying, no, let's go immediately. So what lies at the heart of this debate, so to speak? So the Chasam Sofer says the following. There are two names of God, primarily. There's Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which is the Midah of Rachamim, of compassion,
and Elohim,
which is Din. Din is justice, you know, strict law, punishment. In fact, the Gemara tells us that on a daily basis, there's a split second in time, or a fraction of a second, where Elohim, the Midah of Din, of justice, reigns supreme. Bilam, when he wanted to curse the Jewish people, he was desperately trying to find that moment of time so that he would be able to curse the Jewish people. And the Arizal, you know, lived 5 centuries ago in Sfat. Yeah. He says that Paro's problem was that he denied the existence of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And Paro, when Moshe first approaches him, he says, "Me Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Who is this Yud-Kei Vav-Kei? Asher Eshma Bakolo, and I should listen to his voice and obey his command. L'shaleach es Yisrael. Lo yadati es Yud-Kei Vav-Kei."
He was getting ready to meet him.
Getting ready to?
He was getting ready to meet him.
Well, who's the him? I lost you.
Yud-Kei Vav-Kei.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
But right. With time he was finishing, knew about him.
Now, how do I know that Paro did accept the belief in God, but God as Elohim? Because the pasuk says, "Vayomer Paro Yosef Achrei Hodia Elohim Oscha Eskol Zos." So again, Paro definitely recognizes and uses the word Elohim, but not Havaya. Havaya is something that's out of Paro's range, because Havaya represents total purity and no room for any mistakes or admixtures of any other gods or any other powers on earth, deities.
Havaya.
Whenever I say Havaya, I mean Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. We're not allowed to say it as it is. You know.
Well, I've never heard that Havaya.
Yeah, I mean, there is a sect of Christians that they say that word. And they define their religion that, but we don't say that, we don't pronounce that name. It's a very holy name. In any event, the Chasam Sofer says the following: that if you take a look at Lavan and Besuel, they say the following: Hashem Yotza Hadavar. Hashem is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which means that we, representing the idol worshippers and all those forces of demons and Sidrachra and Sitra and Satan and Chitzonim and all the Klipos, we have no power over here. We're powerless. We can't do it. Why? Because Me'ashem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei Yotza Hadovar. And therefore, Hine Rivka Lefanecha Kach V'Lech. Take Rivka, we have no control. But then, the forces of evil, regenerate their, you know, it's like when you're out of gas, so you pump some more gas into the machine, right? So what happens? These people are such Rishayim, this Lavan, he's the worst Rasha. So he wants to get smart, so he says to Eliezer, you know what, Teshev Hanari Manu, you know, let us stick around. Maybe that's what they were thinking. Maybe if she dilly-dallies, if she delays leaving us, we'll be able to somehow get back the name of Elohim, you know, because as we said before, you know, sometimes God relates to the world at certain moments with Elohim. So they thought, in their evil, they'll be able to somehow get Elohim back on the stage. And then they'll be able to do what all the powers of evil want to do, prevent a marriage. In this case, prevent the Zivug, the marriage between Yitzchak and Rivka. Eliezer and Avram understood what their plan was. And therefore, Hochiach lahem b'chachma, ki lehevel v'rikhe mevaz v'zim etzman, they're wasting their time. And he said, al ta'achu osi, don't delay me, and don't think that you want to hold out for victory and you'll get to meet us hadin, you know, that God should come back with that attribute of justice and harshness, and that'll be ma'akev, that'll prevent this shidduch from happening. And he says, what? Vashem itzliach darki. Hashem is yud kei vav kei, which means that God in Havaya is midas harachamim, and therefore you won't be able to break up this marriage, because once it's yud kei vav kei, then none of the chitzonim, all these external powers that try to undermine a marriage, they won't have any impact.
So it's admitting defeat.
And therefore you have to admit defeat. That's what Eliezer is saying. You know, you can't try to hold out and postpone this marriage by hoping that Elohim will come back and be in an active form, because that's not going to happen. Because Hashem hitzliach darki. Then he quotes another Rashi. Rashi says in the Parsha of Stone, Vashem him tiral stone va'mora gofris va'esh. And the question is, what does it mean, Hashem himtir al-stom? Hashem is yud-kei-vav-kei. So Rashi says, who beis dino? You know, the extra vav of va-Hashem indicates that it'll be also the bezdin. So that indicates the admixture here of din. So Eliezer says to Lavan and Besuel, al ta'achu osi, don't delay me, v'ashem etzliach drachai, which means God and his bezdin. Now, again, when God convenes his court, then what element now is engendered into the equation once God convenes the court? Din, right? Because the bezdin is for din, for justice. So even though it's Hashem who's presiding over the court with yud kei vav kei midas harachamim, but his court is made up of din. And therefore, when Hashem presides over his bezdin, it means that he is going to ameliorate, he's going to, in a sense, undermine the midah of din, and he's going to be able to give the final victory or the power to midas harachamim. So it's Hashem over his bezdin means yud kei vav kei as rachamim over Elohim din. And eventually what's going to happen is that the entire bezdin is going to, so to speak, as a unanimous decision, is going to agree to the midah of rachamim. So the midah of din now, in a sense, kowtows and accepts the midah of rachamim. So now it's going to be that all of the bezdin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to accept the marriage relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka. So this is all based on the pasuk of Hashem Hitzliach Darki. Now I just want to make a point, because we're going to have to end soon. If anybody wants to learn Meshech Chochmah, please stay on. But in the meantime, What I want to leave you with here is something very interesting. Eliezer says, "Al ta'achru osi." You know, don't think that by delaying you're going to get the midas hadin over here, and Elokim is going to manifest itself and prevent this marriage from happening. No, Hashem etzliach darki. So that every time a man marries a woman, or right before he marries her, in Jewish thought, it's the concept is that we need some sort of a force to counteract the klipos and the forces of evil that are going to try to prevent this marriage from materializing. So how do we go about doing that? You know, we're sitting in the audience, and this Kala wants to enter into the chuppah, and we can almost see with our perceiving eyes all these spooky, you know, scary kinds of forces out there that are trying to undermine this marriage and prevent it from happening. So what can we do in order to push this marriage, so to speak, and defeat all these klipos? And you guessed it. What we can do is bestow a blessing upon the Kala. And that blessing upon the Kala is going to be Achoseinu Atayi Le'Alfei Revava. The Alfei Revava, which is the 22,000, which means the number of the assembly of Israel that brings about Hashras Hashchina, that's Ma'orer, the Midah of Rachamim and Din. So that now at this point, both Rachamim and Din are going to say, Yashikayach, let's go through with this marriage. And that's why Hashem Berach Es Avram Bakol. And the word bakol here, as we said before, means a combination of both midas harachem and midas hadin. Together, all the names of God in here in this blessing to Avram Avinu. And that is going to set the beautiful ambiance, so to speak, for the marriage between Yitzchak and Rivka to materialize and defeat all the other powers of evil. So Mirz Hashem, we should be zocha to see that we are carrying the torch, you know, we're carrying on that legacy of Avram, and without the blessings, and we should pray on behalf of all the kalos and all the potential kalos, that they should find their zivug in the same way that Yitzhak found Rivka, and they should be the progenitors of that great Alfei Revava, the 22,000, the Shechina that's going to defeat all our enemies, Ken Yiratzon.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, man.